Fortnite collision event. People are being encouraged to record it. Why? We're going to be talking about it today on the rundown here on Reforge Radio. In addition to that, we have other stories. We like to cover much of the news happening in the gaming world, and we try to give you a rundown. That's why we call it the rundown. We also have Sony and Bungie are building something together, and it has to do with live service games. And then Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 2 The Sith Lords has a Switch launch date, and we'll be discussing that, as well as there's been some other gaming news surrounding Star Wars with Jedi Survivor trailer. We did a breakdown of that this morning on Reforged Gaming, but we wanted to open with the Fortnite collision event. There's information coming out about the first details, and folks are being encouraged to record it, and we're going to read through those details for you right here at the beginning of the stream. As always, make sure and hit subscribe and the bell button so you don't miss these live streams, and check out our other channels. A lot of times while I'm streaming live here, we'll be getting redirection from our First Look channel or sending people over to the First Look channel, which is where you can get great first looks at games. And also we have the Reforge Gaming channel, which we do in the mornings, which is more topic and gameplay driven, as this channel is news driven. So let's just get right into this. This one is, we talked about this already a little bit over on Reforge Gaming, saying that essentially the ongoing live event presence and just these big things that they do in Fortnite, I think points to an MMORPG theory that I have, or maybe some type of a metaverse or something where they're building something much bigger than Fortnite. And this is obviously a little bit related to that. And we're pulling this from Game Informer. So the first details on Fortnite's season-ending event called Collision. Big things are once again happening in Fortnite on June 4th. Players are invited to experience a timed event called Collision. This story-driven moment can only be played once and will kick off at 4 p.m. Eastern. Epic Games says the fate of the Zero Point will be decided in this gameplay event, which I believe will lead into Chapter 3, Season 3. Now, the thing to take note of here is that this is story-driven, okay? That's one of the things that I have continued to point to, is that the big live events, the PvE events inside of Fortnite is leading to something bigger than just a Fortnite Battle Royale. I think they've been testing things, and this is another, I think, piece of that evidence, the fact that it is a story-driven moment. This isn't just something big that they're doing for the fun of it. I think when this all started, when they did some of the live events, that was kind of the thought, is, well, we're just doing something for fun, okay? Now, the events in Fortnite are always fun, as they shake up the gameplay, change the environments, and introduce new characters to the Battle Royale universe. Collision hits just a week after Obi-Wan Kenobi was introduced. A mysterious tower has also appeared in the center of the island. My web manager and producer, Creature, has said that nothing is sacred, and he usually refers, and he says that anytime he sees anything landing in Fortnite. So I always send him screenshots anytime I see somebody famous or some famous character landing in Fortnite, and Obi-Wan Kenobi was obviously recently thrown into the game and is just not sacred. I understand why they did it, though, to coincide with the show, and obviously the Star Wars universe is incredibly popular. Now, Epic Games is encouraging streamers and players to record the event, as it won't be repeated. The last event brought us The Foundation, played by Dwayne Johnson, and Spider-Man. The island also flipped over and gave us an entirely new map to discover. What will happen this time? The teaser image above gives us a tease of a monstrous return. Now, if you have the Battle Pass, you have just 1 week to complete it and get Doctor Strange and his alternate costumes in the bonus tier. Fly through the missions to get, you can get big XP bumps. That's the recommendation they're giving. If you log in at any point on June 4th after 8 a.m. Eastern, you'll receive an exclusive loading screen and lobby track for Collision. You'll be able to log into Collision lobby 30 minutes before the event begins. So that is their recommendation, and you can see here that this up here is their image that they're using. Now, this is the return, it seems, of the big robo bear, the big robot bear that was like attacking the monster, or I guess you would call it a kaiju, in that one event that they had. And from where I sit, I look at Fortnite as more than just a battle royale. I think they're building something far greater, almost as if it's going to be a playground. They've also recently release the fact, and we covered this, that they are going to be allowing people to use the Fortnite Unreal 5 editor to just build whatever they want and monetize it in the same way that Roblox has sort of exploded. And they did give assurances in the presser where they invested along with Sony into a Lego game that will be very Roblox driven. They did make sure to say, hey, we're going to do everything we can to protect, you know, minors and people that use the platform, because Roblox came under a lot of criticism. It came under a lot of criticism whenever they some of their practices started to be seen with respect to, like, not protecting minors. Now, I never really reported on that and did a lot of research into it, but I did see the criticism and I did see people taking issue with it. I have never been big on Roblox, but I know it's incredibly popular, and I've always said, listen, these events that they do would translate perfectly into, like, big world bosses in an MMORPG. The characters, the loot tiers, you've got all the different colors. They even had, I would say, they had systems built for the Fortnite Save the World that were almost too complex. But it does, I think, show that they could build really good RPG systems. The question is, Chad, if you want to weigh in, would you play a game like that? There are people who walked away from Fortnite, never really tried it, never really got into it. Now, some people came back just for no build, because the no build mode is very different. You get to utilize new movement and traversal, and, you know, and there's no building whatsoever. There's even a new shield mechanic, because you can't protect yourself with building when you're out in the open. So I tend to think that anything they do that's outside of, like, the crazy editing, building, battle royale, I'm open to trying, because I actually really, really like the game. I really, really like the content. I think they do. I think they do very, very cool stuff. And so I for one would definitely check out anything that they do in that vein. Because I, like, as much as the battle royale has, you know, has turned some people off, or, you know, they've not enjoyed it, I think they do really, really cool stuff. These events are crazy. I remember being in the game for the robot bear, like, kaiju event, and I was in the game with a kid. He used to hang out. We would play Fortnite quite a bit, and he was younger, so he was getting real excited, and he was, like, laughing, and just the joy in his voice and how cool it was for him made it even cooler for me, because it was like, hey, This is a pretty cool event for somebody who's kind of growing up with Fortnite, but also just as a spectacle, just as a live event, just as something that you can do in a game like this. Zubair says, I'll give it a chance. Fortnite's the god of events. Right, then they started branching out from, you know, even events like this with just, like, the bear and the kaiju, and they started branching out into, like, concerts, and I think the MLK thing felt a little bit like a shark jump. I don't know how much you guys interacted with it or looked at it. I did sort of feel like that. It felt a little bit like a shark, like a shark jump. I didn't necessarily fault them for that. I didn't get critical. It just was a little like, huh, I don't know if this is the right venue for something this serious. But it does put really important historical moments, you know, on the radar of an entire generation that, you know, may be, you know, too young to understand the importance of it. I would imagine it's still taught in schools and things of that nature. But that was probably, I think, the only time where I felt like an event was a little sort of out of character, or maybe even kind of like out in left field. Barrier says, say what you want about Fortnite, but their big events are always awesome and no one does it better. Uncle Brada says, sorry, Lono, today's a holiday, forgot to tune in. No, you're good. We expected a lighter turnout on Monday. We did. We expected a lighter turnout, and we covered some stuff over on gaming, and then we're over here now covering some of the news that we didn't get to over there. And this one, I think, I like the fact that this is how they do their seasons. I like the fact that they have, like, a big, huge sort of moment. Why did I have to resub? I follow since COS and TR days. This is actually a smaller channel. The really, really large channel where we used to do, we tried a couple of different things with that channel. We tried split screen, and then we tried Reforge Radio, and we were covering, like, really serious topics. like politics and stuff. When we decided to no longer do that, we decided to move the show over here to a smaller channel because we feel that really large channel is just incredibly stubborn and it's better suited for uploads. And so it is having first looks uploaded to it, which are first looks at video games. So right now it got one today that I'll be sending you guys back to momentarily. And it is, or I think it already finished, actually. It is a cool little game that we got a code for, so we want to make sure and support that video. But we do first looks over there now. So I thought it was pretty neat. And the MLK thing came out when a lot of kids were at home because of the sickie. Yeah, that is true. You have to consider the fact that it could just serve as like a nice educational thing for people that, you know, were stuck at home. And it was just a good way to give... it finished before you started? Oh, I thought we came over here early. So, I don't want to knock them for doing it, you know? I don't want to knock them for doing it. So, I would imagine that if they want to continue doing that kind of thing, they're probably going to get, you know, criticism for things that might feel a little bit too serious for a video game. I myself am not going to fault them for it. I'm not. I think they can use their platform for good and for good efforts like that if they think it's a worthy cause. I just think it can feel a little bit like jumping the shark, you know. I'll jump in for community games. Not a fan, but Fortnite has already beaten me when they added the RoboCop skin. I bought that and felt dirty, said Hilly. I watched a vid of the concert, says Reese's. It was pretty ridiculous to see. They definitely know how to do it big. All right. Yeah. Sorry. You were saying that in the members only on Thursday. Yeah. Trebellion. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anybody who saw as a membership too over there on that larger channel, we're going to continue to ask people to move those memberships here, just because there is a concerted effort right now for us to see membership on radio and gaming to grow. If you can only do one membership, do it on gaming. If you can do two, we ask that it be done on radio and gaming. So that's basically our lead story. There's not much else. I don't know if we'll be jumping in and doing that on June the 4th because that's a Saturday, so I can't see going live on a Saturday to cover that event, since we're not really embedded in the Fortnite community and we don't do a lot with Fortnite. We'll do it for community game night because it is just such an easy game to do community game night for, because it's, you know, it's free to play, it's on every platform, and I actually think it's really, I think the no build is really, really fun. We did that for community game night and I thought it was actually really, really fun. We had a good time with it. So that will likely be the most Fortnite kind of shows up on our content flow with respect to gameplay. Now, when we feel that Fortnite is worthy of news coverage or worthy of a Reforged Gaming coverage, then I can definitely see covering it. So I feel Epic has a bright future and will use that popularity of Fortnite to facilitate their vision. I'm in the middle of tier 2 gaming or double dipping. I'm wanting to see how you decide the perks will go. So recently, Trebellion, we actually just did this update, and I don't see us changing this because I think this works really well. We hadn't been outlining the perks on gaming for a while. Right now, the perks on gaming is there's 4 perks. You get access to game night, access to the Madam streams, access to AMA. So you can watch my wife and I stream on Friday nights, one night a month, that's a game night with the community, and then an AMA, and then increased access in the Discord. When you go up to tier 2, all those things get enhanced. So you can make my wife and I play a game on Friday night. We have a room in the Discord for that. You also get increased access. There's like a VIP room for tier 2 and above, and you get priority on community game nights and AMAs, because the Fall Guys community game night could get a little crazy and you may want to be able to cut in line, because I'll give the tier 2s the private server code first, just because with gifted memberships, we might get gifted memberships in June, and if we do, it could make that Fall Guys game night a little crazy. So, okay. So, this next one, This one didn't surprise me. This just sort of felt like, yeah, we knew you guys were going to do this, but we do think it's worthy of coverage. And this is from Push Square. Sony and Bungie will create a live service center of excellence once the acquisition closes, a new department to oversee PlayStation's fresh direction. So none of this, this doesn't really surprise me, because the announcement in my mind made it crystal clear what Sony was interested in, but some people didn't necessarily read the tea leaves the same way that all of us did. I was sort of saying this from the beginning, like, I don't think they're interested in Destiny. I think they want the live service expertise, and I did not extrapolate that out of thin air. I felt like their official press release made that pretty clear. So it says here, one of the things lost in Sony's investors relations report last week and brought back to our attention by Reset Era is the company's integration plan for acquisition target Bungie. While the deal is yet to close, the platform holder expects the ink to be dry by the end of the year, and it's already forming an integration plan for the Destiny developer. Now, as you know, the Japanese giant wants to use the studio's expertise to help with its live service game push, of which it intends to operate 12 concurrently by 2025. Currently, it's operating independently on these games when it's PlayStation Studios within its PlayStation Studios infrastructure, but it intends to integrate all of Bungie's knowledge across all of its operations after around 1 year. The goal is to establish a new internal department named SIE Live Service Center of Excellence, which it can leverage for all of its live service titles to ensure best practices are being observed. It's worth remembering that Bungie will retain its independence, so will continue to release its own games across platforms, but it'll have an active role in shaping the philosophy behind Sony's live service projects as well. Interestingly, the platform holder wants to be learning from Bungie within 3 months of the deal closing. So it's clear here that it massively values the design principles that have helped shape and grow the Destiny games. Eventually, the SIE Live Service Center of Excellence will be tasked with reviewing important aspects like monetization in both released and upcoming titles. Obviously, a large chunk of PlayStation fan base are massively concerned by this new live service approach, although it's important to remember that none of the games have actually been announced yet. They might be amazing, and maintaining live service titles is notoriously difficult, so at least the company appears to be taking things seriously if this is the business model upon which it intends to plant its flag. So this was basically in the press announcement, right? And Paul's got a graph I can show you guys from this. This was basically in the presser, so I wasn't really surprised by this. Basically, the presser all but said, we're interested in Bungie's tech and expertise, right? They weren't acquiring Bungie for Destiny. Right? Destiny does make really good money. It's a very successful live service game. But Sony's not dropping 3.4 or whatever billion, 3.5 billion for Destiny. This is part of their ongoing plan to delve into live service. And the integration plan graph essentially looks like this. So you've got current process, which is existing SIE live approach, but then month one, Bungie PlayStation Studios process immersion, and then Bungie philosophy and principles immersion, and then month 6 through 12, flexible approach, build wider SIE expertise and assist in development projects, live service capability, and individual title reviews. And then down here, fully established live service operations model, fully integrate Bungie expertise into all SIE processes. Yeah, live service center of excellence. So you see here, PlayStation Studios and Bungie, along with SIE Publishing, will sort of comprise and make up that center of excellence. So this is their goal, and as you can see, as the article, you know, stipulated, they're wanting this to happen within the first year. Sony has the potential to have some of the best live service games available with this. Yes, I mean, because if you think about it, if you're going to do live service, I kind of talked about this. If you're subbed here to Reforge Radio, every Friday we do the Reforge Roundtable. And Ginger and I kind of got on this, and I said, listen, I said, I know people are going to accuse me of being a Sony fanboy, but I think if you're going to get into live service, this is the way to do it. Right? You have to lean on the expertise of others. You do. You have to lean on the expertise of others. You have to learn from the failure of others. And I think at a ground level, it's sort of like if you're starting out, it's so easy to get everything wrong. If you're just diving in to live service for the very, very first time, you can get so much wrong and waste so much money and end up in a really, really bad, in a really, really bad position. If you look at all of the games that have attempted and tried to do live service, it's pretty clear to me that it's not as easy as folks might think it is. I think there's a lot of people that assume, and we get into this debate all the time, people are like anti-live service and they sort of speak poorly. They speak poorly about live service, or they talk about live service like it's sort of like a dirty word. And a lot of the pushback is, well, they'll just release a bad game, a crappy game, and they'll fix it later. And given how much goes into this and given how risky I think that would be, I don't see that becoming the norm, like, at all. I just don't. I don't see that becoming the norm. The building live service games and actually having them be successful and make a lot of money is part of the goal. That's the goal, you know? And if that's part of your goal, then I don't think this boogeyman philosophy of, well, we'll build an incomplete game and ship it and we'll fix it later, I don't think so. And I think Sony sees the potential. I think they see the potential for live service, and they want to say, think of it this way. They don't want to build 10 Destinies, but they want to build 10 games that have the longevity of Destiny. Because Destiny launched 8 years ago. So in 2 years, Destiny is going to hit its 10-year anniversary, okay? 2014. So when we get to 2024, you're talking about a 10-year anniversary, a 10-year long-standing franchise that's lucrative, that has good, you know, good engagement, good player base engagement, and, you know, regular player base engagement. And Sony's thinking, if we could have 10 titles that are able to do that, that are able to last a decade of, you got people playing, it's making money, it's ongoing, it's woven into your value structure on your platform, so you've got titles that are like, you think about with their, like, their PS Plus. How many of these games could get thrown onto PS Plus eventually so that your entrance into the game is totally free? It's not free, but it would be like included in the PlayStation Plus subscription plan. And then anybody that wants to expand on their experience, you know, buys into the DLC, buys into the extra content structure, and you're able to use PS Plus to funnel more and more people into that. I think it's a really, really, really smart move potentially to have titles that are not just the single player one-offs. Because we talked about this morning. I did a reaction video to Asmongold's, you know, Diablo Immortal pay to win video. And one of the fears and concerns right now is that, well, everything's going to go to mobile, everything's going to go to free to play, everything's going to go to pay to win. Like, that's a concern right now in the market. And Sony was one that we kind of kept bringing up. Well, they make so much money on their single player games. But to me, it seems clear that they do want to stretch beyond that. I think they also see that there's money to be made with different structures, different systems, different logistical approaches to revenue generation. And I'm not surprised at all that Sony has said, let's take a look at live service. And some of this is probably related to Destiny 2 and being close to Bungie at the launch of Destiny 2. So the Destiny 2 premiere was out in LA, and I was there, and there was a bunch of us there, and, you know, you get flown out and they give you like this great treatment. So you're getting all this free stuff and they're giving you all this bonus stuff. Well, everything they gave us, everything they showed, every sign that was hanging, every placard, every poster was Destiny 2 enhanced for the PlayStation 4 Pro or whatever. And so Sony was in close proximity to the launch of Destiny 2 and likely have pretty clear and distinct memories of how that game got heavily criticized after about a month and had player drop off after about a month and didn't seem like it was doing that well. And Activision kind of came out and publicly said that they didn't feel like Forsaken hit the sales numbers that they wanted to see. And so there, you know, there was like this element in the air of, wow, this game didn't do very well, right? It didn't do very well. Well, it's hard not to remember that and then turn around and be like, that game's still going. That game is still kicking. Maybe we should take a look at what they're doing over there, because they were in close proximity to the launch. And so that may have played a part, like seeing another. So that was like a second botched launch. So, you know, D1 launches and it really struggled first year. Bungie was very open about the fact that they saw a massive player drop off at like a certain amount of hours put into the game. And they were, you know, the player base numbers were concerning because they saw that exodus. And then D2 comes out and has a very, very similar botched launch and has lots of player exodus and lots of criticism. And I know it's weird to look at that and see that as a positive, but if you sort of look at, oh wow, look at how rough those launches were, and that game is still around, that game is still netting, you know, over a million players a day. It makes sense that they're like, we got to get in there, we got to get that tech, we got to get that expertise. If anybody is going to help us build a live service game, it's them. Wasn't part of why Destiny 2 started so badly was Activision forcing them to release unfinished bare bones updates? I don't think any of that was forced on them. No. Live service is great for gaming under the right leadership and with the right game. Imagine God of War, Ghost of Tsushima that lasts for 10 years that gets expansions yearly. Right. Like, the question that I would have, Krebsy, and this is where, honestly, this is where Bungie could help with this, is the longevity and the elasticity. Like, what are you going to do with Ghost of Tsushima in the 8th month that I'm playing it, or the 15th month that I'm playing it? Like, what are you going to do? What am I working on? Like, what's my character doing? What's the world doing? What's the map doing? You know, and as you're saying, an expansion once a year. Okay, so what's going on with the story? What's going on with the character arcs and all of that? See, if you can space those things out in a way that's not aggravating and is enjoyable, then I agree with you. I think a game at that caliber could be excellent as a live service game. I've said that about, you know, Assassin's Creed Infinity whenever it finally lands. It has the potential to dramatically influence the industry, because like action adventure RPG games could start to look at that and say, you know, there's a lot of wisdom there. We spend 4 or 5 years building this insane map, this enormous world, and then, you know, we do a couple of DLCs and that's the end. You know, that's the end. I don't know why I put a light bulb. Most of the reason D2 launched bad was the leadership with conflicting ideas of what the game should be. Yeah. I don't disagree with that at all. I don't. I think that in that timeline of the game coming out, yeah, it makes sense that they still had residual conflicting ideas. Destiny 1 had creative dissonance all over it from moment one. Where they delayed it, they probably wanted to delay again, to be quite honest. They probably wanted to delay again, but they had already delayed it for a year, so it probably wasn't possible. You know, they weren't going to be allowed to do another one, because game delays are so common now. It seems weird to think that, like, oh, they wouldn't let them delay it. They thought Double Primary was the play. Yeah, there were foundational problems with that game from respect to, like, who was making decisions about the game. You know, what we essentially called the casualification of that game was I think was clearly put in place by a lot of the people that left. I think the minute they were clearly putting that version of the game out to pasture, a lot of those folks just left. I don't think they could stay. I don't think it made sense for them, you know, to stay at that point. That the game had so sharply deviated from whatever the whoever the foundational crew was for D2. I feel like they thought it was probably time to go. I think weekly updates and a lot of the live service do these days isn't healthy for games. It burns out the player and it overworks the devs. A monthly or bi-monthly updates decrease FOMO. Yeah, I think for a lot of games that want to do live service, Krebsy, what they're going to go for is, we experience this on YouTube, right? We can only send you 3 notifications a day on a given channel. So if I decide to go crazy one day and do like 5 or 6 different live shows, well, as soon as we boot up and do the 4th live show, it will not send notifications to people. And the reason that they're doing that is more than likely they tracked the law of diminishing returns, how it applied to notifications going out, and they said at a certain point, no, you have to stop sending noties. You can't send any more than that, right? It's almost like, hey, stop. Because there's probably an arch that then just starts to drop. Like when you hit people with the 4th and 5th notification, engagement with those channels and engagement with the YouTube platform probably starts to decrease. Well, there's probably similar things in these games. They've perfected the idea of, we need people to come back at this interval, and if we don't get them to come back at this interval, we'll start to see them come back less and less. Does that make sense? So you have to incentivize at some level the daily logins of people that really, really care about logging in every day. Weekly logins, you know, you need those people logging in, you know, week to week to week. These are all things that have to be considered. Has to. Does it worry the Sony people that they're moving away from one and done single player games? I don't understand that. That pie chart doesn't make that chart doesn't make any sense. Why is it so much bigger on the third bar? I feel like I'm watching the American news media. Look at this bar. Make sense of this for me from a mathematical perspective. This one doesn't make any sense. So if I don't understand what I'm looking at here. PS5 investment by business model. Okay. So you have 88 and 12. Traditional, and then 51 and 49, but then 45 and 55. Why is this stretched like this? How is 45% higher than both 51 and 88? Is this showing the investment's going up, and because it's going up, so they're spending more. So this is tracking 2 different things. This is tracking the fact that, yes, 2019 to 2022, they're going to spend more. And then 2025, they're going to spend more. But the percentage of what they're spending got to be the overall amount with the percentage. But otherwise, it's a terrible chart. Yeah, I need to see the amount. So in 2025, they expect to double revenue. 45% coming from traditional, which will be more than the 88% of 2019. Right, so it would be misleading to say they're lowering how much they spend on traditional. That's not true. They're increasing it. It actually went down. This 88% of the overall budget traditional went down in 2022, and now it's going up. So it's going down by 6%, but the overall total amount spent on traditional is increasing by that's I don't know, 30%. So I'm not concerned. The percentage isn't what matters. The overall total is what matters. They're overall spending more on traditional versus live service. Not to mention, I am not scared of live service. I think they could probably develop really, really good live service games. So live service as an idea, like that's not scary to me at all. I'm not like, oh no, live service. What are we gonna do? There's no y-axis label. Well, it's been chopped out of something, or Archangel. So there might be more information on that screen that informed us what was going on there. Didn't they just dump 300 million into their single player studios? It does not have any other numbers. Does it have any other words to explain what's going on, like what we're looking at? I'm not scared of live services, Chris. I'll fight it any day of the week. Projected gaming category, physical, digital software, and digital add-on. So they see digital and physical equaling 17 billion, which is down 1 billion from where it was. So that's not a big decrease at all, but they do see digital add-on going up considerably. And this is part and parcel. This next graph is part and parcel to what you would come to expect with the dip into live service. This is not surprising. So if you look here, 2021, the 9 and the 11 billion is 20 billion. So, I'm sorry, 3 billion lower. So if you fast forward, they're envisioning the physical console software and the digital console software. They're actually projecting that they're going to make a little bit, they're going to make a billion more digital, but they're going to make quite a bit less on physical. They're seeing the physical sales go down quite a bit from 11 billion to 7. So that's a loss in total. That's a net loss of 3 billion that they're seeing happening with digital and physical sales. Now, but they're going to make that up just by a massive amount with 24 billion in digital add-on going, that's up from 15. So you're talking about, you know, plus 9 minus 2. You're talking about a $7 billion increase, largely almost entirely attributed to the digital add-on sales. It was hilarious you reading that out like it was a serious comment. That's right. That color pattern, this color pattern is atrocious. Yeah, the colors chosen here are a little rough, but you can see how even Sony is anticipating a pretty significant reduction in physical sales of software. Physical sales of video games, they're seeing over the next 3 years, they're seeing a $2 billion decrease. Now, digital, they're not seeing it fluctuate almost at all. 9 billion, 9 billion, 10 billion, 9 billion, 10 billion. Like, the digital software sales, they don't see those budging. But they do see physical game sales going down, and then they see a pretty significant surge of, you know, 3, then 2, then 3, then 1 in the $1 billion increase each year for the digital add-ons. So, day and date will happen sooner than later? No. Mo, I want you to really, let's really analyze your prediction, because it's hilariously just not happening according to this. So their digital console software sales right now are 9 billion, and it's going to hold rock steady at 9 billion, okay? And increase by a billion. So they're seeing here the 4 billion they're losing in physical. They're going to make up one of that just in digital, okay? So the digital add-ons up here is where they're seeing they're going to make up most of the difference, okay? Now, this 10 billion gets significantly damaged if you start putting your first-party software day and date on your subscription service. So given that the digital console software sales aren't budging for the next 3 years, your day and date prediction, I'm sorry, it's just continuing to fall apart. They have a vested interest in not doing that. They get a practically guaranteed, rock solid, not moving digital console sales of games of 10 billion. And they can make up the 4 billion in loss of physical with digital add-ons. They're going up from 15 billion in digital add-ons to 24. You're talking about a 9 billion increase And then you just have to subtract what they lose down here. 2024, it will happen. You understand what these presentations are doing, right, Mo? These presentations are made for shareholders and invested parties. So you're still convinced that they're misleading their shareholders. What do you think is going to happen when this $9 billion, $10 billion digital sales projection gets disrupted by your prediction? Like, what are you basing your prediction off of? What financial analysis? What, like, why would they make this presentation to shareholders? Why would they do that? You know what? No, this is radio. I'm not letting you do that today. I'm not letting you do that. This shows, I think, a concerted effort in the live service affecting what money comes in. The increase in digital add-on for Sony is tied directly to the story. Sony and Bungie are building a live service infrastructure, and they're looking to add $9 billion in annual revenue just from digital add-on, which will almost entirely be related, I would imagine, to those live service games. That's what I would imagine. The fact that that's when they want to have all those games, and that's when they're going to see that rise in digital add-on, that makes sense to me. That makes perfectly good sense to me how those two things are related. Because I think this is one of the things we've talked about with the price of games and the ongoing nature of games, that if companies are looking at this prediction from Sony and it comes to fruition, let's imagine it comes to fruition. Their projections are good. Their read of the market is good. And this thing with Sony comes about and they increase their annual profits by $9 billion. And it comes from these digital add-ons, which are largely then attributed to and connected to these live service games. I think other companies are going to take notice of that and say, see, live service is such a wonderful funnel to be in. It's so much better than traditional game sales, right? Traditional game sales is good, but man, these digital add-ons, holy moly. They're so much, it's so much higher. There's so much more, you know, possibility. There's so many, you know. This is related to the conversation we had this morning about Diablo Immortal and mobile games, and how that untapped market and the revenue is just absolutely absurd. And I think live service games are going to have a similar increase in presence in the market of gaming, because the more and more companies that make these pivots that Sony are making, and you see that revenue come pouring in, the more you're going to see companies say, that's worth our investment. The same way that, like, mobile games have influenced really big companies like Blizzard, Activision to say, we need to build a mobile Diablo game, right? You're going to have the same thing happening with live service games, I think. So another story we had today for you guys is related to, we're pulling this one from IGN. We're pulling this from IGN. Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 2, The Sith Lords, the release date's been announced for Nintendo Switch. So if you follow this game, the second KOTOR arrives on Switch next month. Now, this has nothing to do with the remake of the KOTOR remake landing on PC and PS5, but it is good just to see more Star Wars press, as we did a breakdown of the Star Wars Jedi Survivor trailer just this morning. So Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 2, The Sith Lords will officially be released on Nintendo Switch on June 8th, 2022. So that is right around the corner. We're reading this on May 30th. That's next week, Wednesday. We are reading this on May the 30th. So, I mean, that is just around the corner. This news was shared during a Star Wars celebration, and the teaser trailer gives a glimpse of the game in action and the promise that restored content DLC is coming soon. Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, The Sith Lords, will soon join Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic on Switch, as the original arrived on Nintendo's latest console in November of 2021. The original Knights of the Old Republic is being remade for the PS5, but there has been no word as of yet as to whether the sequel will also get the remake treatment. I'm imagining it would be related to how well the remake sells. You know, do they want to do another one? I They might have it already greenlit. I don't know. Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 2 The Sith Lords was first released on Xbox in 2004 before making its way to PC in 2005. In our review of KOTOR 2 The Sith Lords, we said, quote, if you like role-playing games or if you like Star Wars, you'll be hard-pressed to find a game as enjoyable as Knights of the Old Republic 2. Sure, it's got some technical problems, and sure, it starts fairly slowly, but if you can see past those flaws, you're in for one heck of a treat. Lastly, for more information, check this announcement. Okay, yeah. So this just continues to be the gift that keeps on giving for Star Wars, you know, video game fans. You know, Knights of the Old Republic land, you know, KOTOR remake landing, Sith Lords expanding, you know, into a new platform. I don't know how well it would run on Switch. As old as it is, I'm sure they could get it to be fairly optimized. I would imagine they could get it to be fairly optimized, because the Switch is certainly one of the weaker platforms for games right now. It's already been greenlit, says Gaming Fire. KOTOR 2 is fantastic, says Archangel Actual. Darth Nihilus is one of my favorite villains in Star Wars. Hey, look, a Halo ad. Oh, was there a Halo ad on that page? Yeah. With the KOTOR remake coming out, I haven't played that game in a really, really long time. It's exciting that it's landing at a time where it would, you know, make it relevant again, give me a reason to go back and play it, you know? I'm not big on going back into old games. I'm not. But when you remake it, when you remaster it, well, this is a remake. The KOTOR is a remake. Test chat wasn't working. Yeah, YouTube's been having some issues today. We've been having really, really weird behavior across all channels. And yeah, I'm not sure what is going on, but we had some weird behavior. It could be they could be just trying to roll out updates. Maybe on a holiday they see decrease in viewership, you know, because people are traveling and grilling out and cooking out and doing different things. Could be that drives the viewership down and gives them an opportunity to push out some features that just causes some instability. I'm not actually sure, but we definitely have been experiencing some oddities today. It should run fine on the Switch, says Archangel Actual. It's a very low poly texture game with little to no post-processing. Usage is low today. More than likely, they're making noise in the background. Yeah, I would think. Raining here, no grilling out, says Hilly. Yeah, I've been having to limit how often how often I grill out, because the salt intake just spikes anytime I grill out. And I feel it. Like if I go a little bit heavy on the salt over the weekend, I'm like, oh golly, I don't feel quite right, you know? So we've been having to limit how much we grill out. I love it though. It's one of my favorite things to do. It's like, man, let's just get outside, turn that grill on, baby. You know? Yeah, so if you're having any issues today on YouTube, that's probably what it is. If you haven't smashed the like button, do me a favor and do that. Try to give us 100 likes on this video. We knew that turnout would be a little light today, but we still felt like it was worth going live and doing some shows. So, you grilled yesterday, Mo? Yeah, I love doing it. Especially, the weather's just been so dadgum perfect. It's been beautiful out. It's been awesome. It's been so, so good. Less salt, does that mean From Friday is going away? No. That's still allowed. Yeah. So, yeah, that's not a huge story. There's not much to say here. So let's go to the next one. I don't know. This is being debunked. You guys can tell me if you've seen any future evidence debunking this. I happen to think there are pieces of this that make this one, you know, tough to believe. Also, actually, no. I actually think there's elements of this that make it easy to believe, okay? So, State of Play, this image leaked for the PlayStation State of Play. This is going to be taking place on June 2nd. It says, you know, Edition Version 2 or whatever. So, it's looking like it's going to open with Project Destructive announcement trailer and then Stray final trailer. That lines up with things we've seen about Stray actually coming to PlayStation very soon. Then we've got Street Fighter 6 first trailer, and then we have Project Eve trailer, And then we have Forspoken, another story trailer. Now, that to me is weird. I don't know why you would do another story trailer if Forspoken is, in fact, launching this year. So that seems out of step. Little Devil Inside, gameplay trailer, and then T'Chia, story trailer. T'Chia got delayed out of this year. Again, that could be like the Starfield delay. They wanted to get the delay out of the way before the summer press starts hitting because they do want to show us more about T'Chia. And this all so far lines up with... They said this is going to be about their third-party, you know, partners and other games. This wasn't... This state of play that's happening on June the 2nd is not going to be about first-party titles. And then they give a PlayStation VR 2 overview. Butters just woke up from a nap. He heard me say VR. PlayStation VR 2 is going to get an overview. And then they're going to then showcase four games in a row that are VR 2. Call of Duty Modern Warfare plus the PlayStation VR 2. Resident Evil Village Last Hopes update plus the PlayStation VR 2. Avatar Frontiers of Pandora plus the VR 2. Now that might make sense of why Avatar Frontiers of Pandora is first person. I thought when I looked at the game it was ripe for a third person action adventure, but I don't know. Apparently they're looking into doing VR. Some of the footage actually looked a little bit VR. They were like running and you saw their hands coming out. And I thought that game was perfect for third-person action adventure. Maybe that's one of the reasons they built it first-person, so they could simultaneously build it for VR. And then Demonium. I never know how you're supposed to spell that. People say Demonium plus PlayStation VR 2. So those are announcement and gameplay trailers that will hit in the wake of the PlayStation VR 2 overview. And expect all of the VR more than likely to have a mode for both. Okay, just a mode? When you say mode, do you mean like I can play the entire game in VR? Or are you saying it's going to be like an offshoot thing, Butters? Like which... Where are you placing it? They're going to end the show, apparently, with a Resident Evil 4 2023 teaser, which we know... Resident Evil 4 has been sort of rumored and softly, I think even kind of softly confirmed for a while now, has it not? That they're building one? Correct. We will have a full VR game as an option. Okay. So you think we're getting that for Modern Warfare 2, Resident Evil Village, and Avatar, and whatever this Demonium game is. Like I said, I can see it for Resident Evil Village, and I can see it for Avatar Frontiers of Pandora. I don't find that to be shocking at all. I don't. There's nothing about that I find like, oh, that seems so out of place. It's the Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, I guess because it's a first-person shooter, it's an easy adaptation to a certain degree. The Village is due DLC too. Yeah, I think I saw a report that said people were debunking this, but I don't think so. I think this seems very likely to be the rundown of the state of play. This does. This seems on the money. There's going to be a Resident Evil 4 remake. That's crazy. Yeah, that was already rumored a while ago. It was. I love and I play it almost every day, but playing third-person games in VR is the most disorienting thing imaginable. Wait, what do you play every day? So COD actually did a VR experience in the past? Oh, they did. I was surprised for Avatar. It looked too much. That looked too much for VR, but maybe the VR 2 is much stronger. Well, or when you play in the VR mode, Hilly, it could go to, you know how they have like performance mode and resolution mode? There could be a VR mode and it just turns off some of the lighting and textures, you know, maybe limits some draw distance. You'll be first person in VR. Well, Avatar is a totally first person game. You guys not remember this? When the trailer hit and it was confirmed that Avatar was going to be a first person game, I was like, what? Why? It doesn't make any sense to me at all. That game is ripe for you running around with your blue, awesome, flipping, jumping, climbing person. Like, why would you not want to see your character? The system is stronger and the draw distance will be lowered more than likely. The PSVR 2 is looking to be one of the strongest VRs on the market. I can't wait. Of lots of VR games, but the Forest, Blade, and Sorcery and Boneworks are my favorite, says Archangel Actual. Avatar first person, that sucks. Yeah, Avatar looked amazing when the trailer landed. I was totally on board until I saw it was first person, and then I was immediately confused. I was like, that seems like just such a strange choice. Because if you think about how they build these games, seeing your character is so foundational sometimes. Like, think about seeing your character in Horizon Zero Dawn and Horizon Forbidden West. It's like part and parcel to the game. Do you know what I'm saying? It's part and parcel to the game. I don't know, like, especially with the jumping, the flying, and the traversal of the world. Paul says the PSVR 2 is far better than the first one. Never mind, it's running on the PS5. Oh, that's right. You got to remember, it's harnessing the power of the PS5. Yeah. VR needs the I gotta have that game, and I hope one of these can push us in that direction. But until then, VR won't pull the majority of gamers. Unless it's VR, Avatar should not be first person. I'm telling you, I wouldn't be surprised if we find out that that's one of the main reasons they went first person, was because they were simultaneously building it for VR. And it would be extremely challenging to not do, it'd be extremely challenging, I think, to say, oh, we're going to build it third person and we're going to build a VR experience. You know what I mean? The RE4 remake has my attention. Forget Avatar. I really liked the Resident Evil 2 remake. I did. I couldn't do the second part of the game where you play as the other person. Because once the jump, as soon as the jump scares are gone, and as soon as you know where 80% of the zombies are, I lose interest. I need the edge of my seat aspect to be well in place. Does that make sense? If I don't have that, I just get annoyed by the zombies. It's like, bro, if you grab my ankle one more freaking time. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, what do they call that? Like, the B-side, where you play through Resident Evil 2, and then you can flip over and play the B-side. It's like, it didn't even feel like, it felt like, it, what did it feel like? It was very similar to how I felt doing New Game Plus in Elden Ring. It was very similar. It was like, this is a complete waste of my time. You know, this is a total waste of my time. I don't know. I need a game like that to maintain the scare, to maintain the fear. I didn't enjoy Outlast. I didn't enjoy Alien Isolation. Layers of Fear 2 had so many areas where you could fail and die, and it ruined it for me. It was like, I don't feel like I'm scared anymore. I feel like I'm interacting with mechanics. The immersion gets broken when I'm interacting with the mechanics of the section instead of just being scared. The PSVR 2 offers a substantial upgrade in terms of per-eye resolution, bumping the previous 960 by 1080 up to 2000 by 2040. You want to be on the edge of your seat? Try VR. If you decide to play the PSVR 2, I don't care for flat screen because nothing is scary. Can I buy a PSVR 2 right now? Can I just buy one? Is that possible? Because I wouldn't mind having one for some of these games. Because that's what I need. I need a game that's worth my attention. And when I'm looking at... Resident Evil, Avatar, I would get it for Avatar. It's not expected out until 2023 winter. Okay, not until 2023. Okay. Because I know some people think I'm like anti-VR. I am not anti-VR. I just have doubts about wearables overtaking traditional screens. And I'm not even saying traditional screens that you mount on a wall. I think traditional screens will change in form factor to be a lot more convenient and a lot more, either translucent or like a piece of glass on your wall that you don't even really see. I do think traditional screens will go through a pretty considerable amount of metamorphosis and evolution, but I don't see wearables outdoing that for traditional movie watching, TV watching, and games. Now, there's lots of people that disagree with me, and there's one thing that might end up letting them win the argument, but I think it would be 50 years away. You need a couple generations. You would need generations of kids to grow up, and they would need it to be something that is assumed the way they assume cell phones. You would need wearables to be assumed. Like right now, kids are just fully integrated with tech. You just get a cell phone. You're on Snapchat. You're on Instagram. You're on TikTok. You're on these. That's just assumed. Wearables will be viewed as going backwards 10 years from now, says Creature. Screens will not be overtaken by wearables. Yeah, that's been my main position, is that wearables would have to be so integrated. And I see that just being a big challenge. I do. I think there's a lot of challenges for wearables becoming that integrated. I think VR will rise on PlayStation and AR will be successful on Xbox with Minecraft. I think VR will grow exponentially, but you're right, it won't overtake. I think it'll be very successful and very popular. Just like wearable watches have come back. Like, wrist wearables making a comeback is pretty impressive, but I don't think wrist wearables have overtaken, like, cell phones. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, there's barriers. If you're farsighted like me, VR is just migraine-inducing. It's painful, says Quiet Shy. Yeah, there's experiential barriers right now that you would hope that the technological advancements can get around. You know? My son's been begging me for a VR system. Rumor is Apple's making glasses that are controlled with rings on your hands. That'd be nuts. Like, just putting some rings on your hands. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that sounds really good. Won't take over. It'll just get bigger over time. Yeah, I will never deny that VR will become a very prominent... It'll have a good prominent foothold in the market. But it won't overtake traditional screens. Your average video game's going to come out and still be made for a traditional screen. You know? Now, Avatar could be changing everything I'm saying, because other games, let's say Avatar is a smash hit and it's great on a traditional screen and it's great in VR, that could be an archetype going forward. Yeah, if you build your game like Avatar did, you get to hit both markets, and that's such a great thing to be able to say, is it not? To be able to say that our game does both. So as the VR section of the market grows, there's going to be that question of, you know, hey, is that game VR? Like, that'll be a question that lots of people ask, to the same degree that people are starting to ask the question like, hey, does that game have crossplay? You know, can I play that game anywhere? Like, that's becoming a common question these days. Your barriers will be the glasses and motion sickness. That's the big issue. But you have others besides me in the community that will explain all the issues and how to overcome them. Reforge calling me out. Is that VR? That's right. The Quest 2 has hand recognition. You can control it with your hands. No controller needed. Is the market big enough for Avatar to focus on it a lot, though? I don't know, Sane. I don't know. Think about it this way. What if they looked at it and said, We can get this to be compatible, right? We can get this to be compatible, and if we can get it to be compatible, then that's a huge, just absolutely massive, market ad. Well, maybe not. No, I'm sorry. Not massive market ad. It's a massive marketing piece. To be able to come out and say, like, we're one of the first titles to come out as a mainstream title and say, hey, you know, we're both. How many games can say that, right? That stupid Bloodborne tweet, I have to quote tweet it. This is a fake imposter account. LOL. This is fake. This is false news. This is a fake imposter account. That stupid Bloodborne tweet is just churning numbers. Just absolutely churning numbers. I own two headsets, but you really have to like VR like me. That's why The Forest is so great, says Archangel. I can play in VR with my friends who play on a flat screen. It's amazing. I feel like there's a good chance neural interfaces will throw this whole discussion into a spin if we wait long enough for VR to gain traction. So here's the thing about that, Valiant. So neural interfaces, do you know they're going to have their own barrier? Are they not? Like, isn't that a little bit more invasive than you might get motion sick? Right? Like, how... Like, imagine convincing somebody, you know, it's like getting people to spend money on LASIK, right? That's a quality of life enhancement. That's almost like a medical procedure, you know? But how will these neural interfaces work? Is it going to be non-invasive? Neural interface is Valve's main focus right now with their new headsets. One big thing is combating motion sickness. There's no telling the side effects of what a neural interface will have. If you guys are tuning in and you're enjoying the conversation, we kicked off the show with the Fortnite Collision news about the event closing. We also covered Bungie and Sony building a live service sort of infrastructure. There was also Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 2, Sith Lords coming to Nintendo Switch. We covered that as well. And now we're kind of covering the Sony State of Play leak along with all the VR news. This is The Rundown, a daily show here on Reforge Radio where I run down through the news with you. Every Friday, I do a podcast with some friends of mine called The Reforge Roundtable. We also start the day over on Reforge Gaming, so make sure you're subscribed to both channels. Lots of gaming coverage. Reforge Gaming is more topic-driven, and we do gameplay, and this is more news-driven. We sort of fly through news stories to give you as much coverage as we can throughout the day. If you believe Musk, they will cost about the same as a mobile phone plus LASIK. Yeah, I think that's going to be such a harder sell, though. You got to think about the adoption rate, okay? The adoption rate of neural interface is going to be so challenging. I don't know. That, again, will have to get integrated to such a degree into the market that people will just assume that this is fine. That's just something you do. You know, you're just going to give your kid a neural interface on their 10th birthday or something. I don't know. Time to go to the doctor's office, Billy. Turn 10 today. It's a big day. Get your neural interface. I don't know. If Musk could be believed, we'd be on Mars and have full driverless cars at this point. Screw that. I'm getting one first. Yeah. I mean, you know, some people are going to be those early adopters, you know. VR is a weeb's wet dream, so Neuralink is what they want for sure. People are skeptical about getting a... Yeah. You think they're going to get a neural implant? That's exactly right, Krebsy. You know what's funny, Krebs? You know what's funny? That'd be some pretty interesting social commentary, you know? Like, well, in a shocking turn of events, there's a higher degree of neural implant adoption and more people are doing that than getting a flu shot. More on this at 11. People are more interested in trusting of like shoving tech in their brain because they want to see video games and movies in higher resolution. There was a dude on Shark Tank who wanted to put a chip in your ear to play music. Yeah, good luck with that one. You know, get out of here. What's funny is the implant might be in the form of a shot. They're like, listen, I was with you up until you said you had to stick me with a needle, and I'm out. And for that reason, I'm out. South Park recently did that, but was wearing pajamas to work. That's fantastic. Oh, that's absolutely fantastic. Well, we really need people to move their memberships over here. So keep in mind, if you still have a membership over on Reforged First Look, which we actually have a video for you today over there. I'm going to send you back over there in just a moment. It's the first 10 minutes of Hellstuck gameplay. Hellstuck is a brand new sort of Jump King style game. You can play with other people online. It doesn't seem to offer local, but you can go watch me get frustrated for 10 minutes with it. And go over there, give it a thumbs up, leave a comment, do all that. Be sure to continue to support that channel if you can. But if you go over there and you still have a membership, okay, if you still have a membership, then we need you to move it over here. We finally hit 100 members on this channel, and we would love to see 200 members to unlock a weekly stream with Madam, where you as members can submit things in the Discord to have her roast your gameplay, my gameplay, or just maybe you have a game that you love and you want to see what she thinks about it. It's pretty funny because she's not big into gaming. So that is something you can do here. You can also do call-ins. So if there's anybody here present right now that is a paying member here on Reforge Radio, if you would like to call in and you have anything you want to say about the topics from today or any questions, I'm going to give you guys like 1 minute to cash in on that benefit. I will give you more than a minute if you actually want to, but I'm not going to sit around and wait. Like, it hasn't been, call-ins has not been in high demand, but I want to just continue to offer that to anybody who wants to take advantage of it because we do have it listed as a perk. There is also, again, we were wanting to do the first Madam stream today. We came over here. We came over here a while ago, and we thought 3 weeks would be enough time for a lot of people to move their memberships over. And we were incorrect in that thought. It was 2 weeks ago. We came over here 2 weeks ago, and we thought we would bring over a significant number of people from that larger channel. But that larger channel has a lot of members, I think, that just are not, they're just not paying much attention to that channel. I think they all signed up and became members when I was covering Destiny, and they're just kind of asleep at the wheel, which I guess is fine. But we really want to see the membership here at least climb to that 200 mark. And Creature's very proud of you guys because he doesn't like call-ins. he does not like call-ins. So I'm going to put a link in chat just in case the redirect doesn't work. I'm going to send you guys over to this Restuck gameplay. It's me getting frustrated with a Jump King game. How can you not go watch this for 10 minutes? Anytime we do this at the end of the day, do me a favor. Go watch the video. Go watch the video and give it a like. Leave a comment. These first looks are a great way to showcase brand new games when they first come out. Also, we've been getting codes for these games, which is a massive help. To get these games and to be able to showcase them to you. So make sure and support those vids whenever that happens. All right. Thanks so much for being here and watching another episode of Reforge Radio. We anticipate the next couple of weeks to get more and more full of gaming news, which will have Reforge Gaming just popping in the morning. And then we'll be over here to make sure we cover anything left unturned on here on Reforge Radio. So smash like on your way out. Give us 100 likes on this video, and we will see you guys tomorrow. Thanks so much for watching. Stick around for that Hellstuck gameplay or click the link in chat.